Thank you for purchasing this CD. We hope that this message will bless you and enhance your Christian walk. Further information about Christian materials and products will be given after the message. The Lord bless you as you listen.
Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm 137. The book of Psalms 137. We'll read together verses 1 to 4. Have you found it? The book of Psalms 137, verses 1 to 4. 1, 2. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept, and we remained. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, that they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Father, we thank you, we bless you. We give you all the praise, glory, honor. As we go into your word, God will just speak to us. Let your name be glorified. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord is good. And all the time. Last week, started this topic which says, by the rivers of, I cannot hear you, church. By the rivers of, how many of you know that song? Amen. Maybe choir will sing it for us next Sunday. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Amen. The Lord is good. And all the time. This is just a summary of what we did last week. He said, two things stand out there. River and Babylon. River and Babylon. He said, two things stand out there. When you read it very well, it said the river of Babylon. You see, what you do by the river of Babylon determines how far you go in life. Because at one point in time, everyone would find themselves at the river of Babylon. Whether you like it or not. And I said that this river of Babylon is a place of decision. It's a place of change of direction. It's a place of confusion. And it's a place of getting fed up when you find yourself at the rivers of Babylon. And I told you that river represents the Holy Spirit. In John 7:38, it says, out of your belly, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. And I said that when you have the Holy Spirit, you will have comfort. You would have, it's a place of relaxing, refreshing, renewal. It's a place of quietness. It's a place of fresh breeze. It's a place of peace. And I said that if you allow the Holy Spirit to give you strength, right at the very point of the rivers of Babylon, he will give you strength. The Bible says that in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I went on to say that, speak about Babylon, what Babylon represented. And I said that Babylon is an unpleasant place. No one wants to pass through or experience Babylon. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 16 verse 33, in this world you would have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. If anyone promises you a stress-free Christian life, they are liars. If anyone tells you, once you give your life to Jesus, there will be no situation. Jesus will take care of your problem even before they get to you. They are liars. Because the word of God says, in this world, you would have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? Because he, the Lord, has overcome the world. And I said that Babylon represents captivity. It represents sorrow. It represents disappointment. It represents tribulation. It represents a place of no hope. It represents disaster. It represents loneliness. It represents trouble. And it represents a place of no gain. That no matter what that person will do, there will be no gain. At that very point of the river of Babylon. And I went on to describe that there are three reactions that we human beings do at that point of the river of Babylon. And the reactions are there in the Bible. After the first reaction, the Bible said that by the river of Babylon, we sat down. At that junction of the river of Babylon, the first thing you do is to sit down. But you know, sitting down with no movement will not bring progress. The Israelites sat down at the river of Babylon, but we never heard that by their sitting down, they found themselves again in Jerusalem. So sitting down at the junction of the rivers of Babylon, doing nothing will not bring progress, will not bring increase, will not bring a change. And I spoke about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, 16 to 17. That he did not just sit down when he was at his own rivers of Babylon, but he said to himself, I would arise and go to my father. And the Bible said that, what did he do? He arose. Ask your neighbor, are you still sitting down? I cannot hear you. He did not feel sorry for them. Many people sit down looking for pity party, people to pity them and feel sorry for them and sit down the way they are sitting down. But tell your neighbor, I will not be a part of your pity party. I will only be a part of your celebration party. Number two, what was their other reaction? They wept. They sat and wept. It's good to weep, but weeping with no action to follow will only bring frustration. Weeping with no action to follow will only bring frustration and depression. And we read about Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, 37, and also about David, 2 Samuel 15, 30. And then we went to the third part that speaks about remembering. They said that by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered. I cannot hear you, church. When you remembered. And I put there, remembering and reflection, they are the same thing. You see, it's good to remember, but never dwell on the past. Many people dwell too much on the past. And because they dwell too much on the past, they are not taking action. This person, they sat down and they remembered Zion. And the more they remembered Zion, the more frustrated they were. The more they remembered Zion, the more they were weeping. The more they remembered Zion, the more dejected they were. That is why, what do you do with your past? You only learn from your past. You don't dwell on your past. That's what the Bible says that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43:18. I will do a new thing. So if you are at the river of Babylon, because let me tell you something, whether you like it or not, you will find yourself. If you are not find yourself, you will still find yourself there. It's not a curse. If you pray and God delivers you out of a problem, be ready for another situation. The only person that is free from problem is someone who is dead. As long as you are alive and you are on planet Earth, be expecting challenges, be expecting tribulations, be expecting situations which looks as if God is not there. Because it will happen. God, let's look at these people. What was God looking at when they came to capture them? What was God doing by the time they uprooted them from Jerusalem and took them to Babylon? What was God looking at the rivers of Babylon, where they were making fun of them? You Jews, play us with your instruments. One of the songs you need to sing in Zion. Sing it for us. And they remembered and they began to cry and weep. Paul says something in Philippians 3:13. One thing I do, I forget the things that lie behind and I press forward. That is why you must always never dwell on the past. But what do? You move ahead. You learn from the past. And many people are being tied down today. Why? Because of their past. If you allow your past to tie you down, then you will not be able to move forward. If you allow your past to hold you down, then you will not be able to make progress. If you allow your past to haunt you, then you will be afraid to make progress. That's why if you tell yourself, I will not allow my past to haunt me. I thought you would say it. Because everybody here has a past. Whether good or bad, you have a past. But one thing you do from your past is to learn from it. That's why at the rivers of Babylon, you don't just sit down and weep and remember. You take action. Someone say, I will take action. I cannot hear you, church. Genesis 19:26 tells us about the lost wife. The Bible says that the angel told them to run away from Sodom and Gomorrah. And as she was running away, she began to think about the past. Ah, my gold. Ah, my crown. Oh, my clothing. And the Bible said, what did she do? She remembered and she looked. And the moment she looked back, what happened to her? She turned to a pillar of salt. That's what happens to everybody that looks back and dwells on the back. They can never make progress. They will be turned to a pillar of salt, just as Lot's wife. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen. So that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Today, I want to go ahead and look at an example I told you. How many of you read the book of 1 Samuel 30, 1 to 6? How many? I told you last Sunday to read it. How many? Nobody. Not even one person. Didn't I say that? Huh? No. Which you know? It's in my book. I said it. Amen? The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were also taken, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the... He encouraged himself what? Now, David found himself at that junction of the rivers of... I said that everyone, whether you like it or not, you will always find yourself at the junction of the rivers of Babylon. Now, you can imagine, David and his men were just dismissed from a battlefield. They were supposed to go on a battleground, which means that they had just finished a battle, and they were going home to rest, going home to their wives, their children, and all their possessions. But by the time they got home, something else was waiting for them. Can you imagine that? You would have thought that after the battle, they will go home and rest. Maybe sometimes you say, after your work, you've worked from morning till night, and you get it home, you just want to take a cup of tea and eat and go and sleep. And you just get there, and you see a letter, and you open the letter, and that letter will start making you weep because it's not what you expect. That's like being at the rivers of Babylon. Or all day, you are at work, you are happy. And after you finish work, you just turned your phone on and the text just came in. And that text was like bad news. You were not happy with the text. And you began to cry. You began to wonder, Lord, my boss was straining me at work. My boss was pressing me at work. I thought that would be enough. Now, look at this. Now, let me tell you something. One thing that God would never do, will never inform you of the impending problem. That's one thing God will never do. I've never seen in the Bible where God will say, I am my son. Trouble is coming. Prepare for that trouble. God will never do that. Why? Because he expects you to find strength in him to face that trouble. He called Abraham. I can imagine Abraham being happy. Oh, God has called me. He has called me. He told me to go to a land. He will make me rich. He will bless. And I guess that Abraham was happy. But God never told Abraham that, Abraham, you better be prepared. 25 years, you will have no child. God never told him that. God will never tell you that you have a challenge in front of you. It is when you face that challenge that God will now, you can now pray yourself and God will give you strength to face it. There's nobody that God will tell that trouble is coming. Go and check your Bible very well. There's no one. When God called David, when he anointed David, and David knelt down, and Samuel poured the oil from the horn on his head. He said that you will be king. But God never told him that the king, Saul, will be your enemy. He never told him that from that moment he will become a fugitive. He never told him that he will be running helter-skelter. He never told him that he will be frustrated. He never told him what would happen to him. Yet, David passed through all that. All God told him was the end point. You become a king. But becoming that king, God did not tell him what he had to face. That is being at the rivers of Babylon. God will never tell you what the situation will be. He will never tell you if somebody is going to be arrested yesterday. I'm using yesterday because I don't want to use tomorrow. God will never inform the person he's going to be arrested tomorrow. You know what I'm trying to say? But the person just finds himself or herself being arrested yesterday. Why? Because that is that person's own rivers of Babylon. Everyone, as a child of God, would have to face their own rivers of Babylon. There's no prayer that will take you away from facing your river of Babylon, whether you like it or not. I can imagine the Israelites, they were so down because they never expected themselves to be by the rivers of Babylon, sitting down, crying, and remembering Babylon. And they began to cry. And remembering Jerusalem. And they began to cry. And they began to cry. So one thing is that in this world, you would have. I cannot hear you. In this world, you will have. You are afraid to say it. Let me tell you, whether you say it or not, tribulation will come. I'm telling you, whether you say it or not, trials will come. Whether you say it or not, challenges will come. As long as you are a human being, and as long as you are a Christian, as long as you are on the side of God, then challenges will come. Challenges that looks as if it doesn't want to disappear. There will be embarrassing challenges. There will be challenges that will be speaking aloud before you even get there. Your friend will see you. By the time you get to your friend, the challenges would have spoken, even gone ahead of you before your friends. You get to your friends. So whether you like it or not, there will be challenges. Whether you like it or not, the enemy will fight. The Bible says that David was in the battle. You would have thought that God should be merciful on David. That he did not allow him to be killed in the battle. And that he should go home and rest. But getting home, he was unable to rest because he faced another situation. This is the same David that said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in the greener pastures. Now, David will say that, where are the greener pastures? What type of trouble is this? What type of problem is this? You saved me from the battle. I was happy with my 600 men. And we're going home. I began to imagine my wife and my children getting home, getting there, no wife, no children, all possession being burnt. You just have somebody living their place for God forbid. And by the time they get home, their house is being burnt. You can imagine. You can imagine that's what David faced. His house was burnt. The wife was taken. Daughters was taken. Everyone was taken. He was thinking that, look, I am going to enjoy. Now, David was at his own junction. Disaster. Problem. Lost wife, lost children, lost possession, lost the city. They lost everything. As I said before, John 16:33. In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. When you get home, you can read the book of Matthew 27:46. Matthew 27:46. Now, David were at the river, David and his men, They were at the river of Babylon. And they did three things also. They sat down. They wept. And they remembered. The Bible says that they wept so much that they did not have strength. I've never seen somebody weeping so much. Amen? Have you wept so much whereby you don't have strength to weep again? You will not get there in Jesus' name. Have you wept so much that you don't have strength to weep again? Have you wept so much that you don't have strength to weep again? No. I'm still waiting for that person to say that I wept, wept, and wept. I did not even have strength to weep again. Tears did not come. Because I was so weak. The Bible said they wept until they had no strength to weep again. Now let me ask you this question. Even though they wept to that point, did that bring back their daughters? Did it bring back their wives? Did it bring back their possession? That is why weeping does not sort problems out. Even if you weep for money tonight and you begin to weep blood, that will not turn the situation around. God is not moved by tears. He's moved by what? Prayers. Many people think that because of the fact they have wept, Lord, I have wept. Not only have I filled a bottle, but I have filled a bucket. Not only a bucket, but my bath is full. Not only my bath is full, my pillow is drenched with my tears. Not only my pillow, Lord. Anywhere I'm going, all the handkerchiefs, all the tissues I have, Lord, they are all wet. I don't have any tissue. That does not move God. Because if that moved God, God should have sent an angel to declare and command the Amalekites to bring his children back. They wept until there was no strength. Yet, that did not bring solution. Ask your neighbor, are you still weeping? Ask your neighbor, turn to your neighbor. You're not saying it. Turn to them, are you still weeping? Or you didn't see, let's read it. Maybe you didn't get it. Let's read it there. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to what? I never see somebody who has said, I have wept so much. I have no power to weep again. But they got to that point. Remember, they wept so much that there was no more power. I'm talking about by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and where we wept and where we remembered Zion. They began to remember. They remember the more they were remembering, the more they were crying. Let me tell you, past is good. To remember your past is good, but you know what? If you care something, your past will make you weep the more. Your past, your challenges, if you dwell too much on it, will just cause frustration. You may be weeping, Lord, husband, and you weep for money tonight. Husband, your weeping will not bring husband. Whether you weep for money tonight, it will not bring husband. You are believing God for baby, and you weep for money tonight. Baby, on your own, in your room. Baby, and you weep. That will not bring baby. That's what the Bible said. That by the river of Babylon, they sat down and wept. But that weeping did not bring solution. And we can see that while they were at the river of Babylon, in the case of David, the Bible says in First Samuel 30, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, when they were at the river of their own Babylon, four things were read happened there. Number one, they were in great distress. One thing that happens at the river of Babylon is that there is distress. That is, you will not be able to gather yourself together. You will not be able to think ahead. That is why you must not dwell too long at the junction of the river of Babylon. Because if you dwell too long there, you will not know what you need to do. Sometimes you need to take action. For example, somebody receives a paper. Leave our country. Go away. What did they bought you? We give you 5 days to appeal. And that person is weeping for 7 days and does not appeal. What will happen to that person? That person will be deported. So, at that junction, what happens? There is great distress. There is great distress. Number two, there is bitterness of soul. That's what rivers of Babylon brings. It brings bitterness of soul. Your soul is bitter. You cannot eat. What happens is that once your soul is bitter, you will lose appetite. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to communicate with anybody. You don't want to go out. You don't want to eat. You will find it very difficult to sleep because your soul is bitter. So rivers of Babylon brings this bitterness of soul. Because what you expect was cut off suddenly. Number three, what happened here? It brings confusion. They were confused. They were wondering that, how can this take place? We thought our God had given us victory. We thought the angels of God was keeping watch over our family while we went to battle. Yet, by the time we came back, there was trouble. I remember many years ago, when Pastor Funga used to still travel, she went to Italy. You won't believe this. She went to Italy, she bought shoes, she bought bag, she bought shoe and bag, she bought leather bag and all that. I'm talking about thousands. And she bought it. And because we love God so much and we love church, she came Sunday morning and I went to the airport to pick her up from the airport. And we went to church straight away. And we go to church, we worship God, we praise God, we adore God. There was even prophecy for us, and we were so happy. And we began to dance and praise God. Praise the Lord, oh single. Praise the... You're not answering me, church. Are you at the rivers of Babylon? No. You will get there very soon. Whether you like it or not, it's not a curse. Praise the Lord, oh single. Praise the Lord. And then, say, okay, let's go home. Let's take let's see what you have bought. And by the time we got to our car, the owners had visited. They smashed the window. And they took everything that Pastor Funga brought from Italy. They did not even leave a shoe. They took away everything. Now, if it were you, what would you do? That church, I will never go again. I will never go. How can God be looking? I was tired. And I still came to church. And God was looking. And I was praising God in church. Yet, God was looking. God could not even make his angel to keep watch over my car. And all what I had, because he put so much in that, was taken. Not one was left. Can you imagine that? Not one pair of shoe was left. They took away the whole bag. I don't know how they took it, but it was because it was very heavy. And they took away everything. And they ran away. And we lost everything. You can imagine that. I'm talking about the rivers of Babylon. Whether you like it or not, we'll find ourselves there. David found himself there. He found himself there. On my own river, Babylon. I gathered money together. Can you imagine? I gathered money together, my investment, everything. I gathered everything together. In those days, cars used to in Nigeria. And I took my car and I drove to Holland. I was so happy. I had about £3,000, my passport, everything in the car. And I was driving. I was enjoying. And I stopped by the road to ask for direction. Because in those days, no sat nav, nothing. I had a map, but I just missed the road. And by the time I asked direction, the man wrote it. I came back. Like a man from Algeria tapped on my window. I said, tire, psst, 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 psst. I said, tire, psst. And I went, stupid me, and I went to my tire. I said, look at, psst, 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 psst. Tire. I looked at my tire. My tire is okay now. What's wrong with my tire? And I went back. By the time I got back to the car, it dawned on me. I said, hold on, my bag, my purse, my passport, everything, boom, gone. Over £3,000 in those days, and my passport. I had to be praying that, Lord, let this petrol in the car take me back to Ostend so I can get the ferry. I'm telling you, everything was gone. They stole not even leaving one. The police told me, we blacks, we don't know how to look at people very well. They put picture. Is it this man? I said, I don't know. Me, I don't cram face. Why would I? Is it this man? I don't know. What was he wearing? I don't know. What was he doing? I don't know. How tall is he? I don't know. What shoes? I don't know. I won't know now. And that was how I lost everything. And on Sunday, we came to church, Pastor and I. and began to praise God. And then we said, what happened? Somebody came to me, ah! It happened to you, and you still came to church. If it were me, I will not come to church. I mean, I said, my not coming to church, what will he do? Will he bring back the money? Even the people, that's why I don't believe in insurance anymore. The people I insured with, they told me that it's not pleasure. They began, you know, insurance. They take your money, but they don't want to pay. They began to give it. After a while, I just gave up. I just left them. So you can imagine, that's my own river of Babylon, apart from many other rivers of Babylon. That's what I'm saying, that whether you like it or not, you will meet yourself there. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. David found himself there. After being in battle, he thought everything was okay. He thought no problems, but he found himself there. The wife gone, the children gone, his possession gone, all what they have worked for. And you can imagine somebody who's a fugitive. You know, you'll be hiding anything, you'll be happy that God, I thank you. I have this, Lord, I thank you. Saul, did you not allow Saul to kill me? And everything he hoped on, everything he was thanking God for, went, disappeared, just one night. Taken away, one night. He became confused. I'm talking about what? The rivers of Babylon. Somebody say, rivers of Babylon. Somebody say, rivers of Babylon. Number four thing they did there at that point was that they began to blame one another. You see, when you are at the river of Babylon, one thing you do is that you never blame yourself. You blame others. Because the Bible said something. They took up stones and they were about to stone David to the death. That is, they began to blame. The one thing I've seen that people at the rivers of Babylon is that one thing they don't do, they never blame themselves. It is somebody. It's my lawyer. He not do it very well. It's my friend. He not advise it very well. That job, I would have got it. It's the person who told me how to fill my CV. Did not teach me very well. We always blame every other person except what? Ourselves. So, the Bible said that these people, what did they do? They were thinking of stoning David. Why? Because they did not blame themselves. They began to blame David for their misfortunes. And that's what happened at the River of Babylon. People, you don't blame yourself. When you are there, you never, you see, one thing that I have seen we human beings do is that we are never wrong. We never blame ourselves. It's always others. My reason for not being married is because of the witches in my father's house. My reason for not making progress is because nobody is favoring me or showing me the way. You always blame others. You never blame yourself. Why didn't the soldiers tell themselves that, look, let us begin to stone ourselves? But no, they did not blame themselves. They began to blame David. You are the cause. If you are not following you, David, you know, my wife, my children, everything I have would not have been lost. It's because we followed you. You are the cause. And because of that, we are going to stone you to death. And the person, they gather together to stone David to death. That's what happens at the rivers of Babylon. Each time we think back, each time we look back, we are always looking for somebody to blame except ourselves. Even if we make a mistake at work, you don't blame yourself. You blame the boss that taught you. That boss did not teach me very well. That is why I made a mistake. If you have taught me very well, I will not make a mistake. We are always pointing the accusing finger at somebody else except ourselves. And that's why they told David that, David, we are going to stone you. We are going to kill you. Why? Because you are the cause of this problem. But the thing that David did, which is very powerful, at the river of Babylon, there's one thing and one thing you need to do. You must strengthen your... I cannot hear you, church. You must strengthen... David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he encourage himself in the Lord? My Redeemer liveth. God that delivered me from Saul will deliver me. God that delivered me from Goliath will deliver me. If he could save me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver me. Many a times we forget the goodness of God in our life. The good thing that God has done for us, we forget. Somebody called me yesterday from Italy. I said, nothing is working for me. I said, what's working for me? I said, I asked him, do you have paper? I have paper. Are you married? I am married. Do you have children? Yes, I have 3 children. I said, God forgive you. And nothing is working for you. 90%, 100% of people do call me for me. I told him that 95% of those who call me from Italy, they don't have paper. You have paper. And you say nothing is working for you. 80% are not married. And you are married. And you are complaining. Around 50%, they are believing God for a baby. And you have not one, not two, three. And you are saying that nothing is working. I say, you better go and tell God to forgive you. Nothing is working for me. You have paper. Italy is very difficult to get paper. You have paper. You have wife. You have children. What's the problem? I don't have a job. I say, God will forgive you. So that's why nothing is working for you. Many times we tend to forget the goodness of God in our life. He had forgotten the time he was struggling before he got that paper. Now he got that paper, he has forgotten. It's nothing now. He has forgotten the time he was praying, Lord, my wife, my wife, my wife, bring her, bring her, bring her, bring her. God brought the wife. He has forgotten. Now he has forgotten the time he was praying, children, children, now children can not one, not two, three. Now I say that nothing is working for me. Pray for me so that things will work for me. I say, God will forgive you. What do you mean nothing is working for you? Because you don't have a job. Ordinary job you don't have. See, I am begging. Thank God you have somebody to beg from. We need to appreciate the goodness of God in our life. David began to appreciate his goodness at that river of Babylon. He began to think about the goodness of God. And the Bible says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. Despite, let me tell you, at the river of Babylon, people would hate you. People would desert you. People will forget you. They forgot David. They forgot that in those days, they were discontented. They were discomfited. They were in debt. They came to David, and David took them. They forgotten that. David took them. He took them, and he trained them, and they became mighty warriors. After they became warriors, it's now they are thinking of stoning David. And that happens in churches also. Let me even digress. Happens in churches. You come to pastor. Pastors will pray for you. We pray, telling bills, we pray, we pray, we pray, and God will work a miracle. And the next thing you now do is pick up a stone to stone Pastor Chris and Pastor Funke. Because you are now relaxed. You are in your home. God has given you your paper. He's giving you husband, he's giving you wife. That Pastor Chris, I don't know even what's wrong with him. You are eating meat. God has given you meat. I don't even know. This meat. Give me water. I don't even understand this Pastor Chris. Pastor Funke, BOC. I don't even understand what they are trying to say. What are they doing? Now, because God has given you comfort, you are using your pastor to toothpick. My daughter made me toothpick. VOC, and today, what happened, Jare? I don't understand. I begin to took your, you begin to pick your teeth or your tooth, whatever you want to call it. And all you can do is talk about Pastor Funke and as if Pastor Funke, Pastor Chris, and BOCM are the only headline news. Why? Because God has made you comfortable. Because God made the people, the seasonal men, comfortable. That's why they began. They began to say that they want to stone David. All when they were running together, nobody thought of stoning David. Nobody even dared stone because they were having situations. You know, when you have situations, that's why you need to be praying that, Lord, the most dangerous period is the period of comfort. When you are going through, it's okay. But when you are comfortable, that is when you have to be more careful. Because you look left, no trouble. Right, no trouble. Front, no trouble. Back, no trouble. He has done it for me. He has done. Praise somebody, praise God for me. He has answered all my prayers. I don't have anything else to do except to take a stone and stone the pastors. That's all I have to do now. My hands are free. I don't need to sign on anymore. I don't even now. God has done it for me that I am free. Now, all I can do is take up stone and the next thing. Don't you know it happened to Moses? Moses brought them out. After Moses brought them out, when they began to eat fish, this man Moses, he doesn't know what he's doing now. We are fed up of this fish. Moses, look, if you don't give us meat, we will fight you. And they began to criticize Moses. The same Moses that brought them out, that delivered them. Now they turn around. Some people now turn around. Moses, you cannot see anymore. We can see better than you. Moses, God is not speaking to you. He's speaking to us now. You know, they are full. Their tummy is big now. And they can hardly walk because now they have eaten meat and they are relaxed in the comfort of their house. What can I now do? That Moses, he cannot see very well. He cannot see again. Something is wrong with you. I can see more than Moses. We can see more than you. Moses, who told you that God called only? God called us too. We are all called. Many are chosen, but all of us, we are called. What you can do, we can do also. Moses, who are you there? What are you talking about, Moses? What's wrong with you, Moses? This is Moses. Look, Moses, you are taking it too far. Oh. Every time God says, every time God is seeing, you are the only ones. We do, we can see. You can see. Okay, we see the demarcation between me and you today. And what happened? The Bible says that the ground opened and swallowed them up. Speaking in tongues, it swallowed them up. Tile, tile. You know tile, tile? You know the meaning of that? It swallowed them up. Tile, tile. That's speaking in tongues. It swallowed them up with their household. Because the wife too was not being careful. You must say, Abraham, daughter, you better be careful now. It's true. That Moses, the wife too began. That's why the Bible said God took all of them. And they died a death and no died. The ground opened, boom, and swallowed them up, bam, and closed them, boom. Why? Because they thought they could see as Moses see. Why did they not see that? Why did they not see that? I'm talking about they took up stones to stone David. This same David that gave them refuge, that gave them help. They had no place to live. They were fugitives. And David said, come, stay with me. Be with me. I will protect you. Wherever you go, we'll go. Now, after they had married, they never even thought they would go to marry in life. Now they married. Not even talk about children, not possession. Now they had everything. The next thing is that, David, it is you which has stoned you. That's the reward they wanted to give David. I hope that's not you. Ask your neighbor, I hope that is not you. You are not answering me. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in what? The book of Romans 8. I want us to read it. Romans 8, 28. That is why. Don't allow your house to be a house of gossip. You know why? You know what the Bible says happened to Moses? Happened to Datam. The Bible says that even their house or houses, tents, was swallowed up. The book of Romans 28, 26. Say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm talking about David strengthening himself in the Lord. If you want to strengthen yourself in the Lord, you need the Holy Ghost to empower you, to strengthen you. We don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit help us to know how to pray. And we pray, and our prayers are answered. The book of Philippians 4:13 said that, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mind. That is how you can encourage yourself in the Bible. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mind. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. That's how you can strengthen yourself. And this is what David did. He began to recount all the blessings of God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I said to you, my brethren, rejoice. He began to rejoice. He began to thank God. He began to praise God. He began to adore God. Why? Because he wanted to strengthen himself in the Lord. What will the devil do? They will bring things that God has not done. You don't think about that. You think about the good things that God has done for you. Again, I will say, whether you like it or not, you'll find yourself at the rivers of Babylon. Some will find themselves more than 2, 3, 4 times. Those are challenges. It's not a curse. Whether you like it or not, if God had delivered you, given you your paper, be sure that something is waiting for you. If God had delivered you, given you a good job, be sure that something else is waiting for you. It's a challenge. The only person, I said before, that does not face a challenge is a dead person. Dead body. Whether you wear black for a dead body, he doesn't care. Have you ever seen a dead body? Say, my daughter, my children. You know, in my lifetime, I never wore white. Why is it that you put white on me? It's not possible. You cannot rise up. Is that possible? Or have you ever heard of a party they are doing for a burial ceremony and the man or the father rose up from the dead? All you children, you're not good though. When I was alive, you did not buy a cow. You did not give me one cow. You killed so many cows. Have you ever seen a father doing that or mother doing that? It's not possible. It's not. It's only a dead person that does not have challenges. But as long as you are alive, you would face off with challenges, whether you like it or not. I'm telling you. That's why even married, when you get married, all of you ask for husband, wife, wife, wife. It will come. I thought you would say amen. It will come. When it will come, you say, hey, God, is it not better for me to have been alone married? God, I don't understand now. God, help me. When I was single like this, I was. But now I'm married now. Lord, this trouble is too much. Oh, it didn't happen to you. You are forgotten. In those days, I said, what? What? When you lock yourself in the toilet, you're forgotten. Amen? The Lord is good. And all the time. Each time I say, Pastor Funke, come. Funke, come. Do you know what she will do? She will go to the toilet and lock herself up. I said, why are you locking yourself up? Hey, you should have told God that, Lord, okay, I like to remain single. And I like my life single instead of marrying. Each time she will go to the toilet, lock herself, and I'll be knocking. Hey, open the door now. Open the door now. Darling, honey, I will use all the words. Open the door. Say, no, I am not opening the door. I am sleeping in the toilet. Am I lying? But in those days, she told me that she will be my husband, my bone of bone, my flesh of flesh, whatever he is, Lord, bring him. Am I lying? Bring him, bring him, bring him, bring him. And Lord brought him. And now you're locking yourself up. How does that correlate together? What am I saying is that if you ask for something, it will come. But you know what? That's not the end of river of challenges, of course. Challenges. That does not mean that the river of Babylon will not still come. You may think that, Lord, thank you for giving me a boat to cross the river of Babylon. When you cross the river of Babylon, there's another river of Babylon waiting for you in the front. That is why the Bible says something. Contentment is great gain. If you are contented with what you have, you are satisfied. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be challenged. I'm not saying that you shouldn't push forward and forge ahead. But if you are contented with what you have, then you will not have situations many people find themselves. People find themselves in many situations because they are trying to go beyond what their capacity can carry. That's why you need to be careful that what I am doing, I hope is the will of God, number one, and I hope I'll be able to cope with it. And that's what happens to people. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. I said, I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. So what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And what did he do by the river of Babylon? He did one thing, number one. He sought the Lord. After they had wept, after they had cried, after he had now encouraged himself in the Lord, he now called Abiathar, come and let's inquire of the Lord. I love David. Now, let me ask you this. Now, humanly speaking, when somebody had come, you have warriors, you have utensils to fight with, you have all the weapons of to fight. Now, when somebody has taken away David's wife and children and possession, should he have asked God, should I go and fight? Let's think about it. Should he ask God, should I go and fight? What kind of question is that? If God said no, what would he have done? Can you imagine? He asked God, Lord, they've taken away my wife and my children. And my children, should I pursue? Can you imagine that? If it's you, would you even ask? God, hold on. Let me go and battle first. And I'll come back to you. But the other, he went to ask the Lord in such a situation, should I pursue? Humanly speaking, what should he have done? Thank you, just go. Why should he ask God? Of course, he asked God, God should support him, but he still asked the Lord. Let's see what he did. Let's read that part. I keep warning that David must be a man that really loves God. How can he ask God such a thing? That God, should I? Let's read it. So you can see the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. Because each time I read that place, I say, this David man, is it me? If it's me, would I ask? I don't know if I'm going to ask or not, but would I ask? 30, verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring thither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? What type of question is that? Let's come down. What type of question is that? It's just like saying that, Lord, I have found myself in Britain. And my paper is going to run out. Lord, should I apply for extension or not? How many of you want you to apply for extension? Ask the Lord before you did it. Be truthful. How many of you wanting to apply for extension or you want to stay in this country, you ask God before you did it? Let me see. Nobody. Because you assume, it's normal. God should know now. God should have known about David, that David, but what did David do? David said, no, I have to inquire of Lord, should I go? Should I pursue? Should I go? And that's why David has success. He always inquired of the Lord whatever. The only thing he didn't inquire was Bathsheba. If he wants to go into a woman, he won't inquire. Lord, should I go into her or not? There's no way. But apart from that, every other thing that David wanted to do, he always inquired. That was why David had the priest next to him. He always had a priest next to him. Always. Priest. Go and inquire of God. What is God saying? And God will say, and he will obey. He always asked of God. He always sought the Lord in every matter. But we Christians, we assume today, we don't ask God what he wants to do. How many of you truthfully ask God before you came to this nation, that Lord, should I come to London or not? How many of you? You see, only few. London, UK, United Kingdom, London double-decker buses, tube. Lord, I have to go. When I get there, I will ask you. Don't worry, Lord. Let me get there first before I ask you. Many people did not ask God. How many of you asked God, truthfully speaking, before you left your country? How many people said, Lord, I am going to UK. I have heard about UK. Lord, should I go or should I wait? Lord, give me green light. How many of you truthfully ask from God? Let me see your hands up. You see, only few people. Only few. But when you now came here, Lord, I am in UK. Lord, I need paper. I need a job. And God should say, if I were God, I say, who sent you to UK? Who told you, did I give you green light to come to UK? It's true. Let's be realistic. That's what David did. He asked God before he took that step. Should I pursue? Will I overtake? Should I go after my enemy who has taken my wife, my children, and my possession? Should I go after them? Or should I just leave them alone? That's the first thing that David did at the junction of rivers of Babylon. He sought the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says that, seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added unto you. Number two, I'm talking about what David had. That this is how you can get out of the rivers of Babylon. He obeyed divine instruction. He obeyed divine instruction. Go! Pursue! And what did he do? He did not deliberate. He did not begin to deliberate. What did he do? He went ahead and fought. After, you see, many people, they will come to pastors, they will want prayer and do that, but they will not obey divine instruction. Divine instruction is very important. Whatever God says you should do, if you do it, there will be success. Whatever God says you should do, if you do it, it will remove you at the junction of the rivers of Babylon. But many of us, all we want is God, speak, yet we don't obey his instructions. And that's why we find ourselves still at that same point, because we are disobedient to divine instruction. Anyone who carries out a divine instruction will get a divine result. It's as simple as that. If you carry out a divine instruction, you will receive a divine result. That's why whatever God tells you to do, you better do. That's why people who are close to me, if God gives them divine instruction, don't do, I'm very annoyed to use another word. If there's another word I can use, I will use it. Okay, because number one, you are close to us. Number two, you should know things by now that when we give you divine instruction, you don't play with divine instruction. Something that gives me much as people toying and playing, I can toy with anything. You can even come and play with me and joke, I will not mind. But when it comes to divine instruction, simple instruction that will bring results, and you just turn, put it aside, then I tell you, I'm not a person's friend anymore. Why? Because divine instruction is very, 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 very important. Because it makes our job easy. When you give divine instruction and you obey, then you get results. But if you don't get results, you keep coming back to us. And we have to pray. The prayer that we're supposed to have prayed and finished, we keep praying it. Why? Because you are disobedient to divine instruction. David was told at that river of Babylon that, look, David, move, go. And he went. Number three, he took action. When you receive divine instruction, you take action. David took action. And that was why he was able to recover all. He recovered all. God, I don't want to go even into that, but God orchestrated something. That in the end, David recovered all. The wives, the children, his possession, everything they took away was recovered. Why? Because there was a divine instruction. David opened and he took action. And what happened in the end? He was able to overcome his own rivers of Babylon. How many overcomers do we have in the house? If my please stand up. How many do we have in the house? If an overcomer, stand up. By the rivers of, I cannot hear you. By the rivers of, are you going to sit down?
No.
Are you going to weep?
No.
Are you going to remember?
No.
What are you going to do? What are you to do? Pray and
make action.
What of divine instruction? You pray
and take action.
Get divine instruction. Follow divine instruction and take
action.
Take
action.
So, how many people are full of action in the house today? Let me tell you, put on your hands. If you this month you can obey divine instruction and follow, I tell you, you'll be able to overcome the rivers of Babylon. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
I said this month of May. Because one thing I have seen, when I travel, when Pastor Forget travels, and we give people divine instruction, you know what? They obey and they get results. And this is one thing in BOCM. People who are new, when we give them divine instruction, many of them, I'm not saying all, they obey and they get results. Yeah, people who are close to us, it's Pastor Chris now. That's how he says, not be Pastor Chris. If you don't come now and kneel down on the altar, you bring money to the altar. Isn't it? Abby? You're not asking now. If you don't kneel down, you will kneel down in front of the altar and do something. Or what else? And if Pastor Funke, you will fast. You have to fast. Isn't it? So many people have taken us for granted. Come, let me anoint your hands for 2 days, 3 days. Day one, you will come. Day two, I forgot to. Pastor, I'm your. You know you can do it. Let's do. Let's continue now. But you know the cord has been broken already. That is why, if you want results, obey divine. Thank God in BOCM, you always receive divine instructions. I'm telling you. Many of you receive divine instructions. And because many obey, you know what? There are results. But you see, let me tell you something. If you are the type that obeys and you receive your breakthrough, don't stop obeying. I've said that many people also in PCM, they've obeyed for quite a while. But because now they are comfortable, they take things for granted and don't obey anymore. You see, that is very dangerous. God will help us in Jesus' name. By the rivers of where we and remember Zion. That is not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is take action. Pray, get divine instruction, obey, and take action. Go and tell 5 people, take action, take action, take action. 1, 2. Take action, take action, take action, take action. What did they say?
We hope that you have been blessed listening to this CD. To purchase this or any of our products or resources, which includes CDs, DVDs, MP3s, e-books or books, please call us on 020-865-62937 or email us at bocm1@hotmail.com. Or visit our website www.bodyofchristchristiancenter.com. Church address, 2-4 Rathger Road, Brixton, London, SW97EL. You can watch us on YouTube at BOCM.